Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Starfield Raw. This is episode number 34. I am Joe the Widget. We are back after, I'd say more like a two-week hiatus. I don't count that little mini episode I did alone without the boys. It's not the full thing. So I am joined by my fellow co-host, starting with the man, the myth, the cosplaying legend, Rook.
No, not cosplaying
the
yet.
The wannabe cosplaying legend.
You lie. You were cosplaying all weekend.
I was cosplaying as a podcaster.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, what's up, everybody? It's glad to be back in the Starfield realm. It's been a while. I jumped back in game after we got back from our mini vacation, and I got some news, so stay tuned.
We are joined, as always, by Mr. Archon, my saves.
He has news, but we don't even know what the news is. Do we know what the news is? I don't think we even know what the news
better
is.
Better not be the news that we're all going to be talking about.
Yeah. You have special news? News we don't know about or news that we all know about?
News about my game.
Okay. So, So fake news.
Yeah.
It really happened.
It really happened. So it is real.
Speaking of which, since we're on this topic, let's go ahead and just get into what we've been doing this week in the game. Or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever.
I think the widget should lead off.
The widget should lead off? I don't know about that. I mean,
a widget.
I finished the most annoying quest in the game ever.
There's not the most annoying quest in the game.
Yeah, it is.
To Joe, it is.
The dimensional jump between the two different alternate dimensions in that lab, to me, is the most annoying game in the game. Me saying it's the most annoying game in the game has merit because it is to me.
Game in the game. Game in the game.
And I did save Raphael this time, which is the first time I have ever done that. And I apologize for my audio quality. I'm in a hotel room, and it is like I'm standing in the middle of an amphitheater, and I cannot fix that.
Well, next time, just record in the middle of an amphitheater. Maybe it'll sound better.
It'll sound about the same, I'm pretty sure. I did save Raphael this time, though, and it is kind of like the shortcut out of that quest, because it's a lot easier just to go through that bug portion and shut everything down. Still took forever, and it was interesting seeing the end result when you just save him. He gets all heartbroken that you only saved him and things like that, and it was different. And he joined your crew immediately, which is always a good thing. Obviously, the best way to do that quest is to just, save them both, but that takes so much time. I just want to get through it. And I did, I'm pretty much in that section of the story that it drives me nuts. In the terms of it's like my least favorite part, where I'm in between that mission and the NASA mission on the moon. Now, don't get me wrong, the moon mission is great in terms of story-wise, as it does set the backdrop of the game and what happened on Earth and that kind of thing. But it's a bit of a grindy quest going through that entire thing. And I'm not a fan. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to. And then I did went looking for powers in between. So that wasn't too exciting to talk about in the air. What have you guys been up to?
Well, I'm going to let Archon go next.
Why Archon? Well, I guess, because Archon's got some big news, too. If you're a part of our Discord, you already know this. But we were at WonderCon over the weekend, and I brought my laptop with me, and I was like, just going to try and log into Starfield on my laptop. And it tried to sync files. It said it couldn't sync files with the host computer for some reason. And it says, would you like to sync with iCloud instead? And I was like, huh. Okay, so I tried it. And sure enough, it brought back all my save files.
What?
All of them up until like January 14th. So anything since January 14th is still gone. But my main character that's like level 138 and all that, like all my other ones, all back. My challenge character, unfortunately, is still gone, so I don't get to finish my challenge when I was right at the end. But my main character and everything is back, so Archon is back in business and can play again.
Most of those hours that you were crying about being lost are back, though.
That's the important thing.
Honestly, I would cry too, so I don't blame you for that.
Yeah, most of them are back. So I did log into the game for a little while yesterday. I was playing for a while, and was it yesterday? Monday. Monday. I logged in for a little while and I was playing, and I cannot remember where the heck I even am on my main character. So I think I'm going to have to figure out where I am in the story, blow through it to get to a fresh new game plus so that I can just start from the beginning and work my way through again and continue on my mission to unlock every skill in the game. That's my mission. Unlock everything.
That's a good mission, though.
Yeah. I'm not terribly far off. I think I only need like 100 more levels.
Only 100 more levels?
Almost there. Light at the end of the tunnel. But I am excited that I can play the game and I don't have to be angry and hate the game anymore. But that's great.
That's a good thing, yes. Especially when we do a show about the game.
I was pleasantly surprised that you didn't get that option on your main computer until after this weekend.
You were pleasantly surprised about that I didn't get that option? That pleasantly surprises you?
Yes, that pleasantly surprises me. I was going to
bring that up. I'm glad you did.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to tell you this. So
Rook's been fumbling tonight.
When I got home, yeah, Mr. Game in the game. But when I did get home and I signed into Starfield on my home computer, it synced with my laptop. So now all my saves are back on my home computer, too.
That's good.
Yes. So but once I fixed it on one, it fixed it on the other.
I'm really surprised, though. It didn't give you that option when you first had the issue to sync with the cloud.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no clue why it didn't, but I just wish that I would have tried it on my laptop sooner.
Yeah.
But I had no reason to, so I don't know.
Didn't you say you tried logging in on your computer and it wouldn't sync at your laptop when you first lost all the files?
That's true, I did. But I did it from my home network, so maybe that had something to do with it.
Possibly, because it was trying to connect with your
But desktop. These guys watched in live action in the hotel while I signed in and threw my hands into the air in triumph when I got all my saves back.
He's not wrong. That's exactly what he did. And then I looked over his shoulder, and he's like, look, they're all here.
And then he realized his challenge character wasn't.
That's okay. In my heart, I completed that challenge, because there was nothing stopping me from completing it. So
that was
all I had to do was get three levels.
That was only tens of hours versus the hundreds of hours you had and everything else.
Exactly.
All right, so my week.
No, we're going to go ahead and talk about the news now.
My week. I finally did it, everybody. Finally started the Crimson Fleet questline. And I'm finding out Sam Cohen. Only 8 months. Well, let me preface this by I haven't completed it. I've only done all the way up to the point where you go to the planet's surface, go to the lock and get the data, and then you go back up. But I am finding out quickly that Sam Ko is probably your best constellation companion to have during that outside of Andrasia. Because Sam Ko aligns with a lot of the beliefs of, hey, I'm having to do this to survive type of situation.
Andrasia is just the best companion, period.
Oh, she's not. Vasco is the best companion, period.
I want to shoot him in the face every time he opens his voice box.
But yeah,
you can put him in new poses now.
It does not make his voice any better.
Hey, a lot of our people are in our Discord are starting to use the poses thing. I'm making some interesting pictures with him. Sam Ko has agreed with all my choices I've made so far, primarily because of his background. It plays well into this, what I'm doing with the story. I'm playing with my bounty hunter, so she's still greedy. She is trying not to kill people unless they need killing. So let's see where this goes, because I'm kind of interested.
Just, like, see how tongue-in-cheek the lock and key are?
Yes.
I think it's hilarious that your bounty hunter is trying not to kill people.
Hey, she doesn't always kill people unless she's getting paid.
Wanted dead or alive.
In this case, they want evidence.
Dead or alive.
That's getting edited out.
No.
That was under 3 seconds.
Yeah. There's nothing copyright there.
I wasn't talking about the copyright.
Dude, I sounded like perfect. Like I think I would have been recruited.
And then when you go back to, and you hear it played back tomorrow, and you're going to be like, why in the world did I do that?
Listen, I sound like an angel, and you love it. Leave it. You'd have to edit out a lot now, so no, you got to leave it.
Beep, 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 beep. I think we should do it around Discord next.
No. No, we do not have to do around Discord next.
Yes, because we should save that other thing for the big thing before the other thing.
In the news, I want to talk about this glitch because it's actually kind of interesting. And it's just not a couple people that have been experiencing it. It's actually been quite a few now. There is this little, they're calling it a glitch, but I don't think it is. It's this little thing happening around Starfield that's kind of hard to find. Some people have reported seeing it in the same spot as others, but it's this like rift in space that occurs randomly in space or on a planet. Some call it a distortion, but it looks like galaxies. Kind of like what you go to when you unlock the power and you get go through those little clusters, but those look like regular stars. This one looks like actual galaxies in space, like a blackness around it.
Would you by chance say it looks like space is shattering?
Exactly what I was thinking. Some people commented, though, that it also looks like how it's very similar to the graphic of the particles when a Starborn dies. So when you kill a Starborn, there's a little bit of a graphic that comes in and goes out quickly. And when you think about it, and if you next time you're in game, you look at that, it looks similar to that.
So I'm looking on the article, and they have pictures of what it looks like, and it could be something. That doesn't look like a random glitch.
I would not be put it past Bethesda to sneak something like this into the background of a patch. They don't have to put everything they put that they've done to the game in a patch. It's not like a law requiring it. So they can sneak things in.
Question. When did people start noticing this? Was it after the recent patch?
It was after, I believe, like two patches ago. February, yeah, back in February. And it was shortly after a patch. The first big patch.
So it's either something that they did that was accidental and is causing a weird glitch, or it is intentional and could be something important.
The way it looks, I don't think it would be a glitch. It looks very, very specific, and it's not like something that we see normally in game. If it was looked just like those distortions you go through in that quest I hate, or when you're going to get the powers, which is pretty much the same graphic, then yeah, I could see it maybe being a glitch, but this looks different, more detailed.
I could see how some people would think of it as just a glitch. Problem is you can only capture it with screenshots. You can't capture it with photo mode because it acts like the weather where it doesn't show up when you're in photo mode. But you can screenshot it. And it does look like the galaxies in the temples.
Not quite. Those are more simple star clusters, all white, no color.
It looks like a little portal opening up to space.
Yeah, like another galaxy.
Which is weird to me because it looks like it's in space, too, in some places. But here's my quick two cents on it. I feel like if it were something leading into it in an expansion of some sort, it wouldn't be super rare like it is. It would pop up pretty much for everybody at some point in time. It wouldn't just be like a, you know, 10 or 12 people saying, oh, I've found this in the game.
Well,
it would be lots and lots.
My counterpoint on that is they could be ramping it up as they get closer to the release of Shattered Space. Right now, it's a rarity, but it's going to become more and more common until it starts appearing all over the place right before the expansion occurs. I mean, that's a possibility, too.
My two cents is somewhere in between. We haven't played enough to say it hasn't affected us, because I've only put like 10, 20 hours in at max the last couple of weeks.
The funny thing is people are saying that the new glitch in Starfield could be hinting at either the Shadowed Space DLC arrival or possibly teasing fast travel.
Fast travel?
How would travel's already, like, how are you going to get any faster travel? You can literally go from one planet to another instantly right now. What faster do you need?
the other ways of travel, I think, is what they're talking about, and just put it very, very poorly and, well, kind of stupidly.
Yeah.
Nah, man, they're going to add new galaxies for us to explore.
That is one speculation.
If they do that and add more galaxies instead of just more planets, I'm done.
You know what I want? I want to go full Star Trek Voyager. Where you're on your way to an artifact and all of a sudden you get sucked through this wormhole and you're just out in the middle of space and have to try and find your way back. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be the epic survival game.
That would be pretty cool.
And you find out while you're sucked off into this other space that this area of space is fully occupied by the Varun. That's where they all went. That's where they all went. They went to
fight your way and survive your way through it.
Yes. That's my pitch for Shattered Space.
If they do that, they would have to, in my opinion, add fuel consumption and you having to make your own fuel.
Having to like raid bases, Varun bases, to try and get more fuel to be able to make it further in.
That would be awesome.
Dude, this is it. Make it happen.
We have a winner.
No, Bethesda, I just gave you your next multi-billion dollar idea. Go with it. Boom.
Next thing you see is a news article. Bethesda delays Shattered Space due to Starfield Raw figuring out the premise of the.
Yeah, I highly doubt that.
Everybody would hate us. Then everybody would hate us for delaying it. Somehow, plot to new expansion gets leaked.
As long as they call us out for it, I'm cool.
I want royalties.
That'd be the most I've ever, mentioned us or spoken about us anyway. Come on, Bethesda, we're still waiting for those interviews.
Or to any podcasters for that matter.
We've actually had more luck talking to ex-Bethesda employees than we have actually talking to Bethesda employees. Come on!
That is so true.
We want to talk to some of you that actually have the inside scoop.
And I would definitely hang out for near the end of this episode. We got a special interview for you guys coming up. Someone we did luck out at WonderCon and meeting and talking to and getting some audio for you guys. So hang tight for that. We're going to stick with Rook's idea of keeping it till the near the end. So hang tight for that.
Woot, woot.
And we did meet some other ex-employees of Starfield at WonderCon, which we didn't get any interviews, but we'll talk about them. What's going around Discord, man?
Well, let's see. Like I said in my... I think it was in my week of, but people looks like are starting to really use the ability to give your companion poses. That's actually been pretty cool, especially in the, what's it called? In-game pictures folder. There's some pretty cool pictures in there with both characters doing something instead of just the main character.
Man, I've seen some articles out there with some not so PG renditions of these poses.
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
No, not slightly.
Rule 34.
You make anything in this world in these days, and there are people out there who will make it not PG.
They will prefer
Rule 34. That's all I want to say.
Rule 34.
Mm-hmm. Also... there wasn't a lot of interesting, and I would say not interesting topics, but topics that
worth
mentioning on air, because it was a lot of talking over a couple of weeks of stuff. But, and I'm sorry, but this, the name of this, I can't butcher this. High Powered Beaver states they would like to suggest for New Game Plus that quest characters
We gotta mention the fact that it says High Power Beaver Tates.
Yeah, I typoed. I did a typo.
These guys, the backstory on this is these guys get on my case all the time about my typoing, which is like the plague in these notes, so
yeah,
I had to, rub it in a little bit.
Yeah, and usually I only have bad typos on my phone, but this time it was a horrible typo in my keyboard.
To be fair, though, out of the three of us, only one of us is an author. You should know how to spell things.
But
I'm going to do something here. This has happened when I was in creative writing class in college. And one of my favorite authors ever made this quote, and it's very, very, very true. And that was Pierce Anthony. And he said that the best authors for fiction out there were they got your worst grades in English class. Everyone who got A's in English class are your editors.
That's true. That's true. If you did everything right and spelled everything right, you wouldn't have a need for an editor. So.
Well, and the best authors are more worried about the story and the content versus trying to make sure that the grammar and spelling is correct. That's what editing's for. That's what happens later.
Unless your grammar and spelling is so horrible, they're trying to figure out what you're saying.
I have very dyslexic typing at times, so it's not exactly not knowing how to spell a word. It's more like hitting the wrong keys in the wrong order.
But, like I was saying, High Powered Beaver states that they would like to suggest New Game Plus that quest characters change around, like Andrea leading Constellation instead of Sarah, or Jillian Toft and Delgado changing places. That was a summary of what he said, but that's the gist of what he was saying.
Well, I mean, there is a New Game Plus with Andrea leading in Constellation.
I gotta find that one.
But it would
if
be.
You wanna call it that? Oh, no, you don't. You'd hate that one. I wanna find that one.
Trust me, you would hate it.
I still want to find it. I want to see them all.
You'd have to kill your boo.
But no, that's what they were saying, and I kind of agree when they go with the next part. They say, I'd even go as far as if the UC was dissolved after the Colony War and the Freestar Collective becomes a great power.
The problem with that is that there is way too much that would need to be altered and changed in the game. Too much manpower. They couldn't do that. That would alter the entire game.
It would be really cool if they made it to where every time you went through the Unity, something big changed.
Yeah,
like there was a big change. Not Sarah turning into a plant, but like something big in the world changes your second playthrough, and then when you go through your third time, another big thing. They could have programmed it to where there was lots of different big changes, and then it was random which order you get them in. But like, it'd be cool if every time you went through, something big was different.
Now, I did see something that I thought would have been cool to see, and it's one of those, it's sort of on the lines of UC being dissolved statement, but it's more of UC loses to the Crimson Fleet, and the Crimson Fleet takes over to UC's position as the major power. Something like that would be awesome.
For instance, if they did, like, okay, along that lines, if you do the Crimson Fleet quest, your choice affects your next outcome. Like, for instance, if you side with the UC, then yeah, the next time you go through the Unity, the UC is the major power in the world. Like, that would be freaking, I mean, not, yeah, or like if you side with the Crimson Fleet, the next time the Crimson Fleet's running everything. Like, that would be really cool.
Having big changes in different universes like that would be amazing. But the amount of time and effort it would take the team to do that would be astronomical. But I think it's something that would have made New Game Plus way, 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 way more exciting.
Yeah, it would have made it, like, fun instead of just, I mean, right now you're just playing the game again. Or, like, what if you go through the game, like, and everything's the same up to a certain point, and then all of a sudden there are no, like, the Starborn never show up. So you have no clue.
Or that
what's
facility
gonna happen.
With these weird dimensions suddenly blows up and you don't have to do it.
But like, say the Starborn never show up, and then you got to try and figure all this out and like yourself, because they're not there to guide you. And it's like,
all you're doing is being, yeah, that would be cool. Just having some weird curveball like that thrown would be an awesome expansion to add to the game. Or a dev mod, so to speak.
Yeah, we do require a small royalty, guys. It's all good. Yeah. We can work out the details.
Small. Small. 1% of total sales.
That's actually pretty big.
It's small if it doesn't sell. No. Something small. A small amount. Helping us be able to live on Raw and Nerdy and Starfield Brawl without having any other jobs. That small. Yeah.
Go on Discord and name us the official Starfield podcast.
Oh, that would be so badass. We'd have so many NDAs.
Yes, that's fine. I'll sign NDAs if it means we're the official Starfield broadcast or podcast, and then
broadcast.
You know, our numbers can go huge. That would be amazing. All the sponsors and everything that come with it.
Welcome to Starfield, Paul, the new broadcast.
Listen, not one of us has been able to talk this entire episode. So.
I know, right?
Probably.
Our mouths are too tired from all the interviewing and everything we did last weekend.
I'm still exhausted. I have been nonstop since a Thursday last week. I have been
editing.
When we got back on Monday, I took half a day off. It was my birthday, so I just took the half day off. I was too exhausted to do anything. My dad wanted to go golfing. I just didn't want to do it. I was gone.
I thought you had Monday off anyway.
Well, from work, but I took it off from doing the show too.
Okay, okay.
I mean, I did move files around and get things prepped for Tuesday where I did nonstop. I started it. I went golfing with dad in the morning. It was for 9 holes. So it was like an hour and a half. Got home, got on my computer, I would say about 11 a.m., and I didn't get done until about 10 p.m.
Yeah.
When I turned it off.
That man's been working hard.
If y'all want to hear the fruits of his labor, check out our most recent episode on Raw and Nerdy because it is awesome.
I have six episodes coming up from that.
That's not even including the audio and all that we're using for tonight's episode either, is it?
No, that's just Raw and Nerdy.
Just Raw and Nerdy, yeah. Check it out. We got lots of cool interviews at WonderCon. A lot of cool names that you'll even recognize. And
some just awesome people that are creators in the nerd community doing their thing and doing it very, very well. So we got to talk to a lot of great people. We recorded some panels for you guys that were amazing. Hint, hint, yeah. Ninja Turtles coming up soon.
What I got to say to that is you just did a great segue.
Yeah, I did. You got it.
Yep.
WonderCon, ladies and gentlemen. We were there, obviously. Spent the entire weekend there. And we did meet some very fascinating people. And one of them, one group of people, was by pure chance. Who wants to tell the story?
We were at one of the panels. It was the Firefly, Weedenverse panel.
It was the upcoming video game.
Oh, we were talking about Starfield at the end because I asked the question what they thought of Starfield. And at the end of that panel, I was waiting behind this woman who was talking to the guy who actually liked it. And she was thanking him for the positive feedback and whatnot. And she mentioned that she was one of the writers for Starfield.
One of the quest writers.
Yeah, one of the quest writers.
Her name was Aspen Clark. She was really cool. She couldn't tell us a lot, obviously, NDAs and all that good stuff. She was so happy to hear how much time we have collectively put into the game and individually.
Yeah, Bethesda.
And that we actually did a podcast about it.
Yeah, they held their NDAs true. None of them talked to us about the game.
Yep, none of them said and gave us anything.
Yes.
That's why we didn't get an interview with them, because none of them really had much that they could tell us. So they just kind of talked about how they really enjoyed working on it, and it was a lot of fun. And
in the panel that they did, was they asked us if we were going to stay and listen to their panel. So we did. And they did talk mostly about Starfield and the experiences they had working on Starfield.
Yeah, everything that was mentioned, they had two games in common, every single person on this panel. Fallout 76 and Starfield.
Yeah. It was kind of cool. Like, a couple of them worked as voice actors in the game. A couple of them, like, were writers and stuff. One of them was, like, a casting director or something. And they kind of, at their panel, they kind of went through what it's like to, from writing a line to recording it with the voice actor. And it was like this whole long panel that was just insane when you see what they all go through, and then it was just one line of dialogue. And they're like, now imagine an entire game.
Gave me a whole new perspective. I was like, holy cow.
I like how they started their panel too, where they were talking about how, like, hopefully after listening to this panel, some of you keyboard warriors out there who like to go on Reddit know all the work that goes into this, and will... hopefully we can shut Reddit down. That was funny.
Yeah.
Every bit of a video game takes massive amounts of work. Even just designing a little level that you go, like a dungeon you go into, you spend 5 minutes in there and you're like, yeah, okay, that was okay. That took about 9 people, about 4 weeks of work for that 5 minutes.
100 hours for 9 people just to make 5 minutes a game.
I've been there. I've done it. I know.
I can only imagine. That was some crazy stuff.
But speaking of someone we did talk to, though.
Yeah, Saturday when we went to the con, we were over in the area where the celebrities and stuff are, and we turned the corner and we're like, oh, hey, this guy was Shredder in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Michael Bay movie. His name was Tohoru Masamune. And we're like, we went over and we're like, we gotta talk to him. This dude was Shredder. And we looked down at his pictures he has laid out. And Rook points out,
oh my god, he was on Starfield. No.
I was like, you're Sergeant Yumi.
Like, hey, you played Sergeant Yumi.
And his face changed. He's like no, he didn't expect anybody to recognize him.
He's like, yeah, he's like, oh yeah, I also played, what was it, Masura the Dread or something like that is this other character he plays?
I can't remember. It's the guy that you have to rescue.
It was something the Dread, yeah.
It's the guy you have to rescue, what's his name from? The pirate that he's just sitting there nonchalantly talking to.
Oh, the one that I always kill and never actually listen to what they say?
Yeah.
When they captured Barret.
You killed Tohoru?
I never gave him a chance to talk. I literally blow him up every time.
The pirate that captured Barret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that. Oh, okay. Yeah, I love that dude. I don't kill him usually, so I feel better about myself now.
I usually do it in creative ways, at least, right?
He is also Sergeant Yumi, who we all know and love, of the UC. So, yeah, it was really cool. Like, we got to talk to him, and he's the nicest guy. He is he's kind of soft-spoken, so you might hear that a little in the interview, because we are going to play the interview. But he was just so much fun to talk to.
And he talked to us for quite a while, actually. So we got half of the interview was for this show, the Starfield side, and then we talked to him some more regarding his role as Shredder and other things he did, which you can hear that on Raw and Nerdy, and that should be Monday's episode.
By the way, Matsura the Grim.
Matsura, that's it. I was close.
Yeah, something like that. The guy that blew up.
I love what he says about his character. I'm the guy you go to make money.
Yeah. About Sergeant Yumi.
Yeah.
I'm the guy you go to when you want to make money. Yeah, it was it was pretty awesome.
I might name this episode The Guy I Blew Up.
Oh, gosh. Oh, poor guy.
He was fantastic. We're going to go ahead and play that interview for you guys. I apologize for the background noise. I tried to cut it out as much as I could, but he was so soft-spoken. And such a cool guy, but all the black background noise was equal pitch with him, so I couldn't isolate him off of it. So there was a lot of background noise, but you could still hear him very clearly. We're using much better equipment this time than what we did with previous interviews, so we're going to go ahead and play that right now. We're here with
Toru Masamune.
He is the voice actor who did Sergeant Yumi.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys...
Matsura the Grim.
And Matsura the Grim.
So you guys can recognize that voice.
Yeah.
Pretty familiar.
Yeah.
I think we've all been around there.
Yeah, we've all interacted with Sergeant Yumi, that's for sure.
That's right. Yeah,
even
yeah,
if you didn't interact with Matsura the Grim, you definitely interacted with Sergeant Yumi at some point.
Yeah, you do need someone to give you a job.
What was it like working with Bethesda on this?
I thought it was, what's great? I mean, this thing was years, right? That's the beauty of any of these gigs. Is you get them, and like any other actor, you just do a million auditions and you hear back from one, you don't remember what you did, and then you show up and you always think it's going to be okay, I'm working next week,
right?
And all of a sudden you're on this thing and oh, they want you back, and all of a sudden it's like a regular job you're going to for like 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, you're clocking in. Oh yeah, all right. So I'm here for my. I'm gonna do a little more Yumi today and
a few thousand lines of script.
Yeah, why not? But the thing that was great about all this, and I don't know if it comes off in the video game, the directors on these were amazing because they were almost like these stage directors. I actually, and anyway, they all saw it. We had a great reunion.
Oh, okay.
And then one of the directors did, it's like, we had the first, we did the Yumi and Matsuri the Grim together, and that was our first thing years ago. And then we started, and he was, I believe his background's in stage, but it's, he would kind of like ease you in. It was amazing. And I'd swear I'd come out of each section feeling like I just was shooting a Kurosawa film or something like that. Because he would just like make it, he'd just make it seem so epic. And,
yes.
And the way he led me into it, it just felt very, to me, it almost felt very theatrical and very stage-like. So it was a lot of, so I got to say, just as from an actor point of view, it wasn't just going into a booth and knocking out lines. It was going in, and we went through this whole thing, and every time, I mean, it was just, it felt, he, and I worked with a number of other directors, but they were, but they all, I don't know what their training was, but it was very theatrical and really a lot of fun to do, just from an acting point of view.
And did you ever play the game itself and play your character?
Yeah,
to your
I played a little bit, you know, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not the greatest gamer in the world. I remember, and it's just, not that I don't want to be, though, don't get me wrong. I think I'm just better at playing these characters. But I was with a friend of mine, I think I was playing God of War, or what's the game? There's that one part where I'm taken, and there's, I can, and I'm doing fine, playing around, and then at some point he takes his son, right, and then he runs into some ogre or something.
Oh
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I guess I can send my son down. She goes, oh, you can send your son out to like, and then the ogre just picks up his like whip around. And then I'm like, what are you doing? I'm trying to save him. And then my friend just grabbed the con thing out of my hand. Goes, stop it, stop it. And they saved the kid.
Awesome.
He couldn't stand watching it. So that's about the extent of how, you know, I love it, but I, you know. But that being said, Starfield is fun because, you know, I can explore a lot.
Yeah.
It's just, it's fun. I can't fight to save.
He's our explorer. He explores everything.
Yeah, see, that I can do. I can't fight. You know, another person walks in, I'm like, ah! You know, and then I don't know what's that, my finger, I don't know what happens. And I don't have, I probably could practice, I just, my finger, they're not fast. I'm not fast.
You know the reaction speed yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can sit down, look, and pick up a sandwich. You know, yeah. I can do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm good at
lots of sandwiches.
Yeah, I'm good at that stuff. So that being said, I wish I could play more, but I'm a massive fail any time someone walks in the room.
Yeah.
You know, especially if they have a gun.
And there you have it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get to hear the end of that conversation or that interview because I had another interview I had to go get to. But
you'll hear it on Monday.
Yeah, you'll hear it.
Yeah, I'll hear it on Monday, just like I heard Gigi's interview today when I listened to it, the day of the recording anyway. So, yeah, it's he was, when we first started talking to him, we were talking about everything he was in, and I just happened to look down and saw Starfield, and I was like, I know that guy, you're Sergeant Yumi. And yeah. His reaction, I keep saying that because his whole demeanor changed when he was recognized from Starfield.
Yeah, it was visible. Like, he got visibly excited. Like, oh my gosh, these guys, true fans.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of interesting. We could, like, we just kept running into Starfield people that day. The whole day, it was just one right at, like, oh, we ran into him. Oh, now we ran into this whole panel of people. Oh,
so two of the people in the panel that we actually had a chance to listen to and talk and whatnot. One was the voice director for Starfield, and then the other one was the lady, her name is Julie, played the voice of Amelia Earhart and one other person I can't remember. So that was actually really, really cool to
I apologize,
not just stumble across them.
There are some moments where you're going to hit a little bit of roboting going on. That's my hotel internet. It's really, really bad this time. So it's on my end, and it's just a little bit, but they can still understand what you guys are saying. It's just distortion.
I am a robot.
We have robot going on.
You guys are going Vosko on me.
Yes.
Captain Widget. Captain Widget. We should go and do this.
Oh, gosh.
You just roboted it out, so that was perfect.
Oh, actually, nice.
Great.
What a perfect time.
That's why I love making this show with you guys.
Right on the money, dude. Your timing was impeccable.
Man, there are many voice actors. It's hard to find.
Huh?
But there's so many voice actors on that game, and I'm trying to find Julie.
Give me a second and pull up her full name.
Was she the voice actor?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're wanting.
She did Amelia Earhart and one other character trying to remember the name of, but I can't find it.
So that's going to be pretty much it for tonight's episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of a shorter one, maybe about 40 minutes, but hey, we're back, guys. We're going to get more content coming out for you in the upcoming future, and I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. It was a blast getting it.
Oh, found it. What?
Okay.
Her name is Julie Nathanson, and she did Amelia Earhart and Marika Boros for her characters.
I think Marika Boros is one of the non-main followers you can get. And then Tyler Rhodes was the lead voice director for Starfields that was on this panel.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Those were who we saw.
They were good people. They were a lot of fun to talk to.
Yes, they were.
Most everyone we talked to was pretty cool.
Almost.
Yeah, and we talked to a lot of people, so.
I'm still holding a grudge against a certain childhood star.
Yeah, you can hear about that on Raw Nerdy.
What a punk.
If you guys want to reach this show for business or any like requests and things like that, starfieldraw@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, aka X, at StarfieldRaw. You can find us on Instagram.
Raw Podcast 1.
He's getting and also perfectly now.
And also on Facebook at Raw Podcast, actually.
Yeah. Our parent company is Raw Podcast. Most of it, you can find a lot of stuff with that. Like, if you want to email the podcasting company in general, it's podcastraw@gmail.com. Yeah, there was an issue with that, so we had to go.
Somebody already had Raw Podcast, those assholes.
Bums.
You don't have to beat that.
You can find us on Discord, which is probably the best way to reach out to us. We are always on it, always there. Discord.gg/rawpodcasts. PODCASTS. Find us. Join us. It's awesome. And you can follow me on my personal stuff. I'm pretty much everything except for Instagram as @TheWidget. I am on Instagram as @AuthorWidget.
How dare you be different?
Right?
By the way.
That way of you guys. Ugh.
Join our Discord because as one of the interviews I did, the person I interviewed said it was like being welcomed into a new family. And you can find me on anything and everything at Tomcat213, except for Steam and X, that's Rook213.
That's not everything and anything.
Yep. If you jump into a thing.
In the dictionary I'm looking in the dictionary right now and I cannot find you at either of those names.
Damn it, I told them to put me in there.
And if for any reason you want to reach out to me, you can find me on all social media platforms as TheArcon606. Or you can find me on video game platforms at QuickQWICK_D_606.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and we will talk to you next week.
Stay safe in the black, everybody.
Have a great week, guys.